How are you? It's good to see your beautiful, smiling, shining faces. Maybe not shining. If you put makeup on, it's probably not shining. Some of the sweaty lads in the front might be shining. just kidding. How many of you know why I wear these orange glasses? Just by a show of hands. Most of you, about half of you. Okay. How many of you have wondered some crazy story about why I wear these glasses? Like maybe it's some sort of like I'm some sort of cyborg and I haven't really told people why I wear them. I want to keep it on the down low. Anybody? Awesome. You can always count on a couple people. I'm going to just quickly explain that because I feel like it's a little bit of a mystery why some random orange glasses wearing freak shows up to church with a sister who does the same thing. It's actually an eye disease that I have. Don't worry, it's not contagious. You're not going to leave here with orange glasses. what it is it's sort of a package deal. It's a bundle, if you will. It gives me no color vision, so I see in grayscale. I have very poor vision overall, so I can see that there's people back there. I just can't make out if they're actually smiling or angry at me right now. And I have day blindness. So if the light's shining in here, my eyes, they just, like, I just see pure white. So that's sort of a random little story. I just kind of wanted to use it to sort of explain why I always, if you've ever seen me preach or do anything, it's always from my phone. I'm not just some kind of person who thinks he's really cool and hip by using a smartphone for the Bible. I actually quite enjoy an actual physical Bible. But I've yet to find one that kind of is compatible with my lack of vision, that doesn't either feel as heavy as one of the stone tablets that Moses brought down with him, or you know, as thick as like the cedars of Lebanon. That's sort of the issue that I've run into. So I find that actually preaching from my phone, I can expand the text to be able to be a little bit more readable. Anyway, there's some random information for you. I know sometimes when preachers get up to talk, they introduce themselves. There's my introduction. That's who I am. You can call me Blind Kyle. I refer to myself as the Blind Ninja because I kind of bounce around and do ninja things. It's my other job. All right, so I've got a story to tell you. I hope you're ready. It's a good one, I think. And it was a bad one for me. You'll hear why. I'm a nerd. I play video games and you know, tinker with computers and do all those nerdy type things. I'm not ashamed to admit that to you. I recently got a new keyboard for my computer. It's a birthday present. Thank you to my lovely wife. You might be thinking, what on earth would you do with a keyboard? That sounds like a pretty lame present. It wasn't, actually. Really enjoyed it. So I was going downstairs to plug this computer or this keyboard into my computer to, you know, get it all set up, get it ready to go. And I had this nice big tall glass of water on my desk. And my desk is very wobbly. I got it from Hope Valley at the yard sale, you know, being frugal, supporting the camp. But it's also not the most sturdy. And, you know, as I was excitedly unplugging my old keyboard to plug in the new one, I bumped the desk. The cup fell over. Avoided the keyboard. But my tower, my computer tower, is sitting right beside my desk. And the water all flew off the side and poured like a waterfall into the computer beside my desk. I could hear the water rushing down the sides and hitting the bottom and going through all the components, and I just had a silent freak out. You ever had one of those? I had some strong emotions. Very strong. I tried to contain them as much as possible. But the point of that story is just to illustrate that we have a lot of emotional response to things, right? I was thinking, okay, this is the end. My computer is about to perish in a horrible, watery death. But it didn't, thankfully. I'm just going to add that there, that it was actually fine, surprisingly. But we have emotional response to things, right? We respond in different ways to different things. I responded a little bit angry, a little bit frustrated, a little bit concerned towards that situation. There's a lot of other things that we experience in life. You know, at a wedding, for instance, you might have people with tears of joy for the people or in celebration. You might have parents with tears of joy as their children finally leave the house. You might have a funeral where we cry tears of sadness for those who have gone, or tears of joy again for those who have passed to heaven and to be with our Lord and Savior. And there's various circumstances in life where we feel emotion. And I'm sure that all of you, if you're honest with yourselves, feel emotion on an almost daily basis in some capacity. We all feel different things towards different things that come up. And that's a, it's a very real, natural thing. It's a, what I believe is a God-given thing. So today we're going to look a little bit about emotion. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but not in the sense that maybe we normally talk about emotion. And what I mean by that is when we often come here, we talk about things like, when we talk about emotion, I should say, we talk about things like be angry and don't sin, right? We talk about how we to react to kind of day-to-day things. Maybe even more to go to that computer story, how we should appropriately react to something like that. Or maybe somebody doing us wrong, or maybe something bad happening, or something good happening. What the appropriate response for us as people of God is to respond to that in. But today I want to look at more of a specific type of scenario in which we will feel emotion. Almost guaranteed we'll all face it at some point in our lives. And we're going to do that by looking at a man who cried about a wall. And that's not some veiled reference to politics in the South. This is this is from the Bible. We're going to look at Nehemiah. So if you travel with me to Nehemiah chapter 1, we're going to focus on Nehemiah chapter 1 this morning and go into chapter 2 this evening. I'll give you a minute to catch up. I'm already there. Fancy phone stuff, you know. So Nehemiah chapter 1 starts out and says, "These are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, 'Things are not going well for those who returned to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down. The gates have been destroyed by fire.' When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said, 'O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, and even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescue by your great power and strong hand are your servants, O Lord. Please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayer of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into his heart to be kind to me. In those days, I was the king's cupbearer." Nehemiah is a very interesting book, and you know, I kind of was thinking about what to talk about today, and for some reason I haven't been able to get Nehemiah out of my head for the past few months. I think that you know, whenever that happens, and that's sort of, you know, what we'll be talking about today, I think God really burdens us with things, right? When he wants to teach us something, he puts it on our hearts, and he keeps kind of prodding us with it. And I think that's what was happening with me with Nehemiah. Every time I opened my Bible, I just gravitated to the book of Nehemiah. And I couldn't really figure it out. And the more I looked at it, the more I studied it, the more I found some real, tangible application that I could use for my own life. And whenever I do any talking like this, I always try to make it about something that God is teaching me. I don't want to make it about, you know, me just telling you some random piece of information that the Bible has that I'm sure we've come across ourselves. But I wanted to make it relevant to us on a very personal level. I want to make it relevant to me, because it's something that God is teaching me. Nehemiah falls in about 1,000 years after Moses, 500 years-ish before Jesus. I'm not using exact numbers. So we've got quite a bit before the time of Jesus here. He's obviously the king's cupbearer. He's there serving beside the king, Don't really know if he traveled everywhere with the king, but obviously his primary purpose was to supply the king with his drinking goblet. Very high position in terms of a job that you could have, right? A very, very distinguished position. He was a very high-ranking person in that area. We come to this point, and Nehemiah has heard about what's gone on in Jerusalem, right? And we know that at this point, of course, it's been years and years and years and decades since the exile of the Israelites from Jerusalem, from Judah. And we come to this point where there's his brother comes to him and he's talking to him about what the situation, and Nehemiah is very curious about it. He wants to know, what's happening with my brothers and sisters in Israel right now? How are things going there? If you recall a little bit earlier, there was an attempt made to have the walls rebuilt, and so I'm sure that it was a conversation that had happened before. I am fairly certain that, you know, other people were interested in the goings-on of Israel and what was happening in Jerusalem. But Nehemiah hears how it is. He hears that the walls are broken down. He hears that the gates have been burnt. His people are in shame. And think of this in the context of what Jerusalem was, right? Sometimes we read these things. We read, oh, he was sad. He was sad about Jerusalem because he loved Jerusalem. But why? When you hear, maybe we don't feel that same kind of attachment to our hometowns or our place of heritage. A little bit different maybe than if we heard, about the walls of Peterborough burning down. Not that we have any walls. But when he heard about this, I think from the context that we're given, he's thinking about the greatness that was Jerusalem, right? The bustling city, the busyness, the culture that was there. Just that hub of God's people, right? Where they all gathered together, where there was rejoicing and praising the Lord in the streets and in the temple and all those things that went on. And now he hears about this ruined state that it's in. The walls are crumbled down, the city is exposed, and of course at that time, that was a big deal. Walls were, you know, the bread and butter of a town, because if you didn't have them, you were exposed to invaders and war, and it was not a good situation. It was very unsafe for your town. And so Nehemiah hears that, and he thinks, oh my goodness, like this is not good. What has happened? Like this, and he hears about the state from a very real first-hand account, right? About his brother coming back and telling him, no, this is the actual state they're in. It's really bad. It's very, very bad. And Nehemiah, he cries. He weeps for days. He fasts. He mourns. His response is very raw. It's emotional. He feels pain for his brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. He feels the weight of the burden that they carry. He feels the weight of the fact that that city has been all but destroyed. The walls are crumbled down. The gates burnt. The symbolism there is just, it's overwhelming to him. And, you know, through the scriptures, we see a lot of emotion, an emotional response to things, right? In the Old Testament, we have Nehemiah here as an example. We have, King David, as he was confronted about his sin and the emotional response he had. Or even when he was told about the temple, you're not allowed to build the temple. There was an emotional response there, right? We have in the New Testament, of course, even our Lord and Savior Jesus demonstrated a great deal of emotion. I think that's one of the, just as a sort of side note, I think that's one of the most beautiful things we can latch on to about Jesus and the fact that he became fully human, because we're emotional people. We're emotional creatures. God made us that way. He made us in his image. And he gave us the ability to feel emotion and to express emotion and a way to use that emotion, which we'll get into. And Jesus had that as well. He wept over Jerusalem in a similar way that Nehemiah did now, in a different context, but in a very, this is almost a very kind of foreshadowing kind of way of looking at it. Jesus wept over Jerusalem for a number of reasons. And I think there were three different instances actually in the Gospels where he did. And they were for various reasons. You know, thinking about Jerusalem's future, what would happen to them. Thinking about the rejection that they would offer towards him, and then also thinking about the fact that they would eventually crucify him. We also see Jesus' emotional response to Lazarus when he died, and then when he raised him back to life. We see his emotional response in the Garden of Gethsemane before he is crucified. He prays that God would take the cup away from him. We see a lot of that, right? We see all this kind of raw emotion from people in the scriptures and even from the Lord Jesus. We see it a lot. And to me, as I was reading this, it kind of prompted me to think, you know, this is really demonstrated a lot. There's got to be a reason that this is demonstrated a lot. And a reason it's talked about a lot. And I think that one of those reasons is that that in a very real way, we're all going to feel emotion in our lives, especially related to what God wants us to do. And when God puts something in our lives and on our hearts, we react to it. So for Nehemiah, when that happened, he heard about this turmoil in Jerusalem. He heard about the struggles that they were having, the fact that the walls were crumbled down and the gates were burned, and he felt overwhelmed. He felt sad, almost depressed by the looks of it. I mean, he locked himself away, it seems, for days and fasted and mourned and cried because of hearing about his brothers and sisters. And I think that he did that because he realized that obviously the real nature of the suffering that was going on there, but also that he was feeling the need that he needed to help them. And that's what I think he was getting at in his prayer when he talks about giving success with the king and talking to him about this. Of course, he waits, which we'll look into a little bit later on, perhaps this evening, is he actually waited quite a long time before going and talking to the king about it. There was a lot of thought that went into this. A lot of thought that went into the emotion that he was feeling. And I think that he felt in a real way that God was prompting him to action here. He was prompting him to do something. He wasn't just prompting him to feel sad about it and go lock himself away. And that's kind of one of the dangers, right? As we go through this. We often feel emotion, right? We all feel emotion in various capacities. Sometimes God gives us these situations where he's giving us a specific burden towards something, but we can take it and use it in the wrong way, right? We can take emotion, we can feel emotion, and we can just kind of let it eat away at us and let it kind of destroy us. Or, you know, let's use Nehemiah as an example, because we're here anyway. He could have heard that news about Jerusalem. He could have heard about the walls. He could have, you know, felt that sadness and just shut down and just been like, well, that's really sad, but nothing I can do about it. Or just sitting there wallowing in his pity and his suffering, right? He could have heard that and been like, well, there's better people to do this, surely. I don't need to do that. I mean, yeah, there's suffering, but I mean, I'm sure there were other people who were told about this too, right? It's not just Nehemiah's information here that Jerusalem had issues, but he's the first one, it appears, to really take that to heart and to bring it to God. But his reaction is very key here. He doesn't just respond by shutting down. Yes, he cried. Yes, he wept. He mourned. He went and fasted. But he prayed. He took time at the end of during that emotion and through that emotion to actually connect with God about it and figure out, okay, what is it that I need to do here? How do you want me to use this burden that you're placing on my heart? And that's sort of the distinction that I want to make, because again, there's all kinds of situations in life that we feel emotion. Somebody might do something to you that makes you feel angry at them or sad or frustrated. There's plenty. We could spend a lot of time just kind of listing off all the various emotions that one might feel. And, I mean, we have direction about those too. You know, even in Proverbs it says that that a foolish man expresses all of his emotions, but a wise man controls them. And I think that's talking about a more situational thing of us reacting emotionally to things, right? I think that's the sort of idea behind that. But what we're looking at today is our emotional response to God's burdens on us, to God's direction to us. When God wants to use us and he places an emotion in us to stir us up, how do we follow through? What is the you know, action that we feel? We often try to put away emotion, right? It's not necessarily the most comfortable thing to show emotion, especially in front of people. It makes us uncomfortable, maybe embarrassed even. We don't like to get into that kind of stuff. And I think there's two points that really come out of this. And the first of all is that it's okay to feel emotion, especially when we hear about the suffering of God's people or something that God places on our heart to direct us toward an action that he wants us to take. It's okay to feel those emotions. It's okay to express those emotions. And we see that with Nehemiah. No, he didn't go parading them around and like going or walking around the town, you know, look at me, I'm so sad. I don't think we get that from him at all. He didn't parade it around. But he still expressed it. He didn't box it in. He didn't try to shut it out. He let God use that emotion. That leads me to my second point, which is, from what I can see in Scripture, God often, quite often, uses our emotions to prompt us to action, to point us to something, to say, to point us to something that we care about, right? Because if we're honest, there's a billion, more than that probably, I'm just going to use a big number, a billion needs in the world. There's needs everywhere we go. Every single place we go, every person we see, there's needs everywhere. And I think in a very real way, God gives us an emotional response to certain types of those needs to point us and say, this is something that you care about. Maybe you can be used here, right? Not every one of us as Christians is suited to every single ministry. That's why we have spiritual gifts that direct us into certain things. We're not all gifted to do the same thing. We're not all called to do the same ministry. We're not all called to help in the same way. We're all called to different areas that God wants us to go. And I think part of us figuring that out, as I've kind of learned as I've been studying this for the past few months, is that often God uses our emotional response to teach us that and to show us that. Because it shows what we really, really have a deep care and passion for. And in a very broad sense, we should all have a care for certain things. We should all care about the fact that there are bad things in the world that happen, or that there's so many different things that we could all universally care about on that level. But I think that it goes beyond that. I think there's very specific things that come up, which again is evident here in Nehemiah, that God burdens us with, right? We often say that, we use that terminology. We pray that God would burden somebody with something, right? Or even burden ourselves with something, a care for the lost, or maybe burden somebody to feel their need for salvation, right? We often pray that way, but do we actually think about the, you know, what's behind that and what that actually means on a day-to-day basis? I think that there's a danger, right? Because we've kind of spent a lot of our time and energy trying to, and I should stipulate, this is, you know, the motives behind this, I think were good, but I think we've done a pretty poor job as Christians at expressing emotion. We try to lock it away, right? Especially at church, especially when we're here with one another, when we're in this setting. You know, we don't want to cause a scene, and that's good. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves. That's good too. But I think we've kind of gone so far to one extreme that we've kind of learned to suppress what we're actually feeling. And my question would be for myself, for all of you, for everybody, is, you know, do we recognize those feelings, those emotions? When somebody tells us about the crucifixion of our Lord, do we feel a little sad inside because of what he had to go through, but not want to show people that? When we hear somebody talk about the redemption that we have in Christ, do we think amen in our hearts, but don't want to vocalize it because we're afraid of what somebody might think beside us? When somebody tells us about an incredible thing that God has done in another country and bringing people to him, do we shout out hallelujah, or do we keep it boxed inside because we're afraid of what it might look like to other people? Do we feel the same thing, but not want to show it? I think that in a lot of ways, and we're all guilty of this, we don't embrace the fact that God gave us those emotions to glorify him, to bring him praise, to bring him glory. You know, everything we talk about, we always pray, may it be to the glory of God. And this is the same with our emotional response when he puts that in our heart. It's to his glory, right? And I mean, again, don't get me wrong, people can misuse it. People can absolutely try to over-amplify it maybe and make it more about them putting on a show. That's a real thing. And I think, again, that's why I say I think a lot of these things that we've done have been rooted in something good, but I think it's been taken to an extreme that's almost had an opposite effect where we no longer want to feel that way because it's kind of scary. And I wonder if, you know, Nehemiah had that thought. It doesn't seem like it. Seems like he felt the need. He saw his fellow people in suffering. He felt God's prodding of him. And he responded in a very real, raw, human way, the way that God designed us, right? And I think, you know, as we see, as we go into his prayer and as his, he, you know, thinks about his need, it was a godly thing for him to do. It was a godly response. Because he saw the need, he felt the need, and he wanted action. And this, again, God uses our emotion to prompt action. He didn't just sit there. He didn't just crumble down to a pile on the floor. My son is a year and a half. He likes to do this thing where I go to grab his hand and he just kind of goes like that. Like, you know, he just, that's what he does because he's a toddler. That's not what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah actually, you know, he used that. He used that feeling of need and of sadness and he directed it to God and said, God, what do I do here? And he acknowledged it before God. When we feel, you know, an emotional response directing us to action, do we do that? Or do we hide it away? Do we try to box it up because we don't like the feeling? Or do we go to God and say, what do you want me to do with this? I feel burdened for this person. I feel a need over here. How do you want me to respond? I think we need to do a better job as individuals at really being aware of those things. And I know for myself, that's again, going back to what I said before, this is about my learning here. This is about what I've been learning through this. This is not meant to be directed at anybody. This is about what God is teaching me through as I've been studying this book. I think there's a real need for us to just understand that God uses these things to point us to him. And I would just wonder, again, have we lost that ability? Have we become out of touch with the thoughts and the feelings that God places in us to direct us to where he wants to go? When we hear about the lost, when we think about the fact that most of this world doesn't know the Lord Jesus, does that make us sorrowful? Do we feel burdened for them? Do we feel sad at the reality that most people on this planet don't know the Lord and do not have a home in heaven? Do we think about the need of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering in other countries and just kind of like, oh, well, I'm glad it's not me? Or do we actually feel that do we feel a burden for them? Do we feel a need to lift them up in prayer, to build them up as our brothers and sisters? And again, I know it's really easy to pick the sort of really big emotional things, right? It's really easy to pick those kinds of, you know, big events that happen or big thoughts and make it about those only. But there's smaller things too. Maybe it's a coworker. Do we have a coworker who's talked to us or a friend who's talked to us about spiritual things and we don't really feel anything there. We don't want to because it's too complicated to get into. Has God burdened us with something and we've just kind of swept it under the carpet? Or maybe it's a call to serve in some area. We often talk about this, you know, how do I know what God wants me to do? I think this is a great place to start. What are you burdened for? What do you connect with? And are you actually opening up to the fact that you have this response to it? Or are you trying to hide it away because it's much easier? There are 1,000 different things that we could all be doing at any given time in terms of ministry. And we're not all called to do all of those things. We're going to come across situations, we're going to feel burdened for the needs of this world, we're going to see the suffering and the anguish that people are going through, we're going to feel the need to help out, and we can't do it all, and we shouldn't feel bad about that. Because God has gifted each one of his children to do different things, and my point in this is that I think we need to do a better job at being aware of that. At saying, yes, God, you've given me this burden for this task. I'm going to do it. Because I know that you've asked me to do this. You know you've placed this in my heart to want to do this. And when we feel this great emotion, overwhelming emotion when he directs us to something, we need to connect with him about it. We need to talk to him. We need to say, God, you've given me this burden. I don't really know how it's going to play out. I don't know what exactly I'm going to do with it, but I need your help. I need you to give me some guidance with it and tell me how to do it. Nehemiah's was pretty clear. It was a very specific situation. He was going to help these people of Israel, and he was going to help them build the wall. We're going to talk about that later on tonight in terms of the actual action that he took. But today, this morning, what I want us to think about is if we've completely hidden away the fact that God places emotion in our heart to point us towards something he wants us to do. Have we boxed that out of our daily routine? Have we become stoic to God, to what he wants us to do? Have we become stoic to the gospel? When we hear the gospel, it should give us a drive, an energy, right? It should give us a desire to want to share that with people. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to walk right out here and talk to the first person you see on the street, but in a very real sense, I think it's an important thing that every single one of us is burdened for the lost. Whether that's actually being the person on the front line talking to them, or the person supporting that person on the front line talking to them. Again, we're not all gifted to the same type of ministry. But are we all aware that God is actively working in our lives to point us towards what he wants us to do in a very real way? Are we looking for him? When we feel these overwhelming thoughts, when we feel this overwhelming emotion coming over us, do we shut down, do we lock it out, or do we let him in? Do we let God direct us? Do we let him teach us? And do we respond like Nehemiah responded, in prayer, in seeking God's direction? Let's pray. God, thank you for the different burdens that you've placed on each one of our hearts, Father. We all have different needs and areas that we need help with, and I think this is one that we can all sort of relate to on some level. I think that we've all been guilty of feeling your hand upon us, pointing us to something, and to be honest, just not acting on it, not doing what you want us to do, just kind of brushing it off, thinking there might be another opportunity. But Father, that's not what you've called us to do. You've asked us to work and to harvest. The time is coming when we won't be able to do that anymore. Father, you've called us to be people of action. And I just pray that would be the case for each and every one of us, that we wouldn't just sit and let the weights and the burdens of the world just rest on our shoulders, but we would look for you, we would look to you for guidance, and we would just trust that your hand would teach us the direction you want us to go. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for salvation. Thank you that we can all be here this morning because of him, and I pray that in some way this message that you've been teaching me would be beneficial to other people here, and that again, Father, that we would not just hear this, move on, and carry on about our business, but that we would let your word change us. We would let the examples that we have in Scripture change us and mold us into the person you want us to be. Thank you, Father, and I just pray that you would bless each and every one of these great people and keep them today in Jesus' name.